Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to Finding Your Financial Voice podcast with me, your host, Anita R. Johnson. I am excited about today's, I'm always excited about all my podcasts, all my guests, and even when I'm just on the podcast, I'm excited. But I'm especially excited today because we have a great guest today that we're going to be interviewing, and I'm just really excited about being here with us, with her. She was a guest years and years ago when I first started podcasting, and I looked her up again because she was still on my Facebook page with her beautiful picture there. And you guys see her beautiful picture. I just love this picture because it's with her and I love that picture. I absolutely love that picture of her. So she is going to be our guest. And so I just want to thank everybody for listening and being with us. I want to make sure that you know that this podcast is it's always here for you, even if you don't get the newer ones or you want to listen to the older ones that we have. I'm excited about that. And also, we have the magazine called Affluence Financial Fitness for Women, which is a magazine that is written basically by women that talk about their financial woes and how they've come from those and all the things that basically that happen with us during finances and for our finances, and tips that you could probably implement at the same time that are ready for you. So I'm going to stop now and I'm going to get into our guest. And her name is, I'm going to let her introduce herself, but her name, I'm going to say Miss Timmons, right? So I'm going to do that and let her really get into what she does. But I want to actually say this. She is on a mission to change how people think and behave and talk about money. She talks about the human side of money. Ooh, that's a lot of words. That human side, that behavior, that commitment to change. Well, hello. How are you today, Ms. Tim?
I am fabulous, Anita. Thank you so much for having me.
How are you? Yes. Definitely. Now, do you like that picture too? The one with, do you like that one for yourself?
I don't know which one you're talking about, okay. But I actually like all of the headshots. Know which ones specifically you're referencing.
You're kind of like, hey.
My eyeballs are up.
Yeah, like exactly.
I do like that one. Because it's a little snarky.
Yeah.
Unexpected. Snarky, like, hey. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I do like that one.
Because it's also very unexpected.
Right. And it's also unexpected of someone who talks about money.
Oh, right? Yeah, it's exactly.
Also, it's a little snarky, but it's also playful.
Right.
I think because money can sometimes be heavy and experienced in a really heavy way, that kind of is a little bit disarming to plant the seed that it might be a little fun.
Yeah, I actually really like to create things for clients, as probably as well as you do when you're out speaking, something that's fun for them. Mm-hmm. because finance is so hard to talk about. Mm-hmm. And I know that you have actually created, you're the author of a book called Financial Intimacy, How to Create a Healthy Relationship with Your Money and Your Mate. And I know this is just part of what you have a heart to do. Tell us a little bit about how you got started in this business and why.
Oh my goodness. How much time do we have? So yes, I'm Jacquette Timmons. I work as a financial behaviorist, and you know, how I got started in the industry, quite frankly, was accidental. You know, it was my mentor who brought me to Wall Street, and that was in 1986.
Oh, wow.
And it was witnessing the crash of 1987 that was really the first seedling that success with money is about much more than the numbers. And it was me starting my own business in 1995, initially to do exactly what I had been doing at the larger firm in the private bank, managing money for high net worth individuals. I started my firm to do the same thing. And about, 8 years into it, had, you know, one of those come to Jesus moments with my CPA, who was like, you know, when are you going to start mortgaging your life? And it was really a wake up call, because I started my business in 95. I had my first speaking engagement in 96 and my first coaching client in 2001. But when I first started my business, you know, again, it was the continuation of what I had been doing inside the larger firm. And I was continuing the picture of financial perfection, right? But then after a couple of years of being in business, the dynamics changed. And therefore, the person who did not have any debt other than my student loan all of a sudden had debt and was dipping into my savings and selling assets, investment assets to keep the business afloat. And not only was that counter to what I had learned to do academically and professionally, it was also counter to what I had been taught by my mother, which was to save and to have no consumer debt. So when I come to the conversation talking about the importance of really integrating your emotions and your behavior and the psychology of money with the math of it, I know that not just professionally, but I know the importance of that personally. And it's one of the reasons why when it comes to the traditional conversation that we have around personal finance and the whole messaging around pay yourself, save, spend less than you earn, have minimal to no debt, it's not that those things aren't important. It's just that I find that oftentimes those things are espoused as if those are the only things that lead to financial success. And in addition to the how-tos, which those represent, are the whys. So that's, you know, as quick as possible of an overview of how I got started in what I do and why it is so important to me. I want people to be financially successful, and I want people to understand the role that their relationship with money plays in that regard.
Well, and I am happy that you talked about, hey, you said something about mortgaging your life, but we talk how, you know, we got, you got into business, you only had so much debt. Now, all of a sudden you got a bunch of debt, right? And then you're doing things to make the business grow. And that's kind of what we, you know, are for people that are not entrepreneurs, that's still how their life goes. It's like they are doing these things, but they don't know the reasons why things are happening that way for them, and how they need to be kind of coached or kind of told about their behaviors and how they were raised and different kinds of things that affect how they deal with finances, right, at this, you know, at that particular time.
Yeah. And I think sometimes, you know, it's a matter of proximity. Sometimes you're too close to see the ways in which you are getting in your own way. And so as someone who is a professional in this space, right, I do have my MBA in finance. You know, and managed money for high net worth individuals for probably a good 20 years in total. It's a lot easier to see what other people are doing or not doing than it is to see what you are doing or not doing. And I also think that it's easy to justify some choices. So, you know, when my accountant said what he said, I was just like, oh, I thought I was doing all of these things.
Yeah, I thought I was doing good.
You know, and I think When people ask me sometimes, you know, if I were starting a business now, what would I do differently? I really think that a good majority of the lessons that I learned, I needed to learn when I learned them. But the one thing I would do differently is I wouldn't have used my own money. And I think as women, and I think as Black women in particular, you know, also the whole message of don't have debt can actually stunt your ability to grow your business, because that is often a wonderful tool for starting it or keeping it afloat. So if I were doing it all over again, I would probably go for like an SBA loan or something along those lines.
Yeah, you've always heard other people's money, you know, that word, other people's money, using other people's money, so to speak. And you, as well as I would probably do something different and not use my own money as well in the business before I started it. You know, so we are always taught that debt is kind of like a bad thing. And then, you know, you have good debt and bad debt. But when we're in business, that's a whole different kind of conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a whole different conversation. Definitely. Absolutely. Yeah. So I see that you have Pricing Made Human. I love it. Right. And part of this, as we're talking about people who may or may not want to be in business, you talk about what should I charge for this? And I think this probably goes back to the mortgage in your life. Maybe you weren't at the particular time, maybe charging enough money. So you kind of wrote this.
So true. I mean, it was all of the things, right? You know, not charging enough. The whole business model was just broke. You know, the business model was broke. The pricing was broke. It was all broke.
I love it.
You know, fix that. And slowly crawl my way to the other side. But yeah, absolutely. The pricing paid.
I love it. I have some clients sometimes. Well, potential clients, they call and they said, hey, what do you charge for certain thing? And then, you know, I go through a list of things and they'd be like, yeah, just bottom line. Right. And I had one yesterday and says, that's all you charge? Should you charge more for that? I said, well, how much do you think you want to pay me? What's the value? And then they told me what it is. And I said, OK, I'll take it.
It's interesting because I think your question to them, what's the value of it, is really important because the one statement that I hate and I have such a visceral reaction to it is the statement of charge what you are worth. I hate that statement.
Yeah.
And it affects me like really deep down in my bones because, you know, we're Black. For me, my heritage is Jamaican American. And so there's ancestral history of being tied to our bodies. And so when people say that, even if it's not what they really mean, that's how I experience it. And so there's that element to it. And then I also think it misses the point. And the point being that when you are charging for whatever it is that you offer, a product, a service, a hybrid, you're charging for the expertise that you're bringing to the table, your education, both formal and informal, your perspective, your talents, your gifts, all that kind of stuff, and the container in which you're delivering it, right? So what you would charge for an hour of service might be very different if you're working with someone for 6 months. And I just always like to remind people that when you are charging, it is the value of all the things that you are bringing into that container. And how is that, you know, offer, if you will, helping someone answer a question, address a challenge, fulfill a desire? That is what you're charging for. So for me, Pricing Made Human is a way of backing into that by looking at what's your relationship with money, what's your relationship with yourself, with your business, and with the people that you want to serve.
And I like that. What's that relationship with money kind of thing?
Yeah, because it shows up.
Yeah, because, you know, if we've not had a relationship with money, or our relationship with money is kind of dismal at best, then we sometimes don't know how to charge. Now, that's for business owners. But on the other side of that, as women, when we go to negotiate our salaries and things of that nature, then we tend to take, some of us tend to take what they offer us. And we know that it's not enough, especially if we're single women with children and trying to raise children. So I tried, and so the negotiation has to, our relationship has to be part of the negotiation and our future. What do we want for our future? I remember being with my mentor and, you know, we were going through this whole thing about charging. Right. And he says, So this is what your fee should be made up, like what you said, but it should be 20% here, 10% for taxes, 10% to put away, and never had thought about any of that kind of stuff until here I am, a bachelor's in accounting, a master's in taxation, right, in the business. And then I'm like, oh, I don't charge enough. And so as we're talking about charging, as a business owner, we also have to talk about the woman who is embarking on a new job or looking for a new job and how she negotiates her salary as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I just want to piggyback. You said, or go back to, you said, if, and I want to just offer up to our guests, our listeners, that everybody has a relationship with money. It's not if, it's a matter of degree of awareness. Well, yeah. Oh, that too. But are you aware that you have it? Right.
Okay.
Because
okay.
One of the things that I always say is your relationship with money is one of the longest relationships that you will have.
I love it. I love the fact that it is definitely one of the longest relationships we'll ever have. And we need to get a grasp on that. Now, when you talk about a relationship, what exactly do you mean? Because people are like, well, what are you talking about relationships? You know, what should I be doing with? And you know, people probably heard a lot of conversation in a financial literacy class, so to speak. What is it that we should be, what should we do in order to have a good relationship with our finances that can help us in the future with our, you know, whatever legacy we want to leave or living today?
So, you know, one of my missions, and you alluded to it in the intro, is that I want people to think, behave, and talk about money differently. Mm-hmm. And when you think about any relationship that you have, the components of that are those things, right? Mm-hmm. It's a relationship because you're thinking about that person. It's a relationship because there is some sort of interaction, behavior between the two of you. It's a relationship because there's some sort of communication. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, maybe money is not literally talking back to you, but actually it is giving you feedback. Mm-hmm. It's giving you feedback as to whether or not you're making good choices or choices that are not really serving you.
Oops.
It's a relationship because you were probably thinking about it all the time.
I love it.
It's a relationship because you make choices. You make choices mm-hmm. probably every single day when it comes to your money, be it in the form of how you are using your cash, your debit card, your credit card, mm-hmm. You know, making decisions around big financial purchases, making decisions around how are you going to negotiate? What mm-hmm. charge are you going to, or what price are you going to charge? So to me, those are all the different elements of why or how it's a relationship. But here's the other thing. Just like your personal relationships can kick up things around your beliefs, your behaviors, and your expectations and your areas of vulnerability, so too can money. Mm-hmm. So it is an inanimate, you know, object, yes, but it can still bring forth all of the emotions mm-hmm. that, you know, surface up in any other kind of relationship, whether mm-hmm. it's with a person or even sometimes with an animal. You know, it's like you love your pet, you love your dog, you love your cat.
Yeah, until the vet bills come.
Well, yeah, that's true. That's true. Then you're like, you need to get a job.
Yeah. Can I write you off on my taxes?
Oh, my God. That's so true. That's so true. I love but to me, that. Those are all the different ways that it is
right.
a relationship. And it mimics, very much mimics, the dynamics that exist in your other relationships, especially the other relationships that are of importance to you. Mm.
Definitely. It is a relationship. And it's like you say, whether you think you have one or not, you probably do have one. Yeah, you have one, whether it be a good one or a not so good one, you know. And it also, it just kind of depends, you know, on, I always think it's our environment where we came from, what how we were raised in the conversations that we had around money, all of those things as a young person growing up, how did that fit into the conversation at home? Financial socialization, all of those kinds of things are important. And one of the things is that for African-American women, the conversation has not always been a great conversation as we were young, when we were younger. And so now we are trying to learn how to deal with finances as we become an adult. And we kind of go back to the old things of, you know, I know one time, what are our triggers? You know, one day, I don't know what was going on with my hair. And I tell this story to people all the time. I don't know what triggered me, but I had to have three pairs of shoes, three. And two of them were the same color. It's like, what triggered me? And then I had to figure out what triggered me that day. And so when you have those relationships with money, you say, oh my God, and I bought those three pairs of shoes, or I bought whatever it is. What was it that triggered me to doing that? And I think that's a really good way to understand your behaviors and what road you're going down.
I agree. But I also just want to caution, because I think some of the messaging that is out there that I don't think benefits us is the idea that we can't spend our money on things
exactly.
That we can't splurge, that we can't find some joy. It is important to understand why do you do the things that you do, and to understand, are you buying those three pairs of shoes because it is filling an emotion, an emotional void, right? And is it filling an emotional void? Right. And that's a different thing to explore and ought to be explored. But I don't want anyone to hear this segment of our conversation and think, well, you know what? I shouldn't buy those three pairs.
Buying
those three pair of shoes is not going to put you in any sort of financial jeopardy, then go on ahead and buy those three pairs of shoes. Because I think far too often we're given the message of you don't deserve joy, period. Mm. And you don't deserve to enjoy your money secondarily. And I just think we need to.
That's a great point.
Make room.
Yeah. That's a great point, because I do tell people, because a lot of people be like, okay, I do need to do a budget. And I always tell people, no, we don't do budgets. We do financial spending plans, because the first thing you hear about budgets is what I can't do. And so we don't want people to know. We don't want people, like you say, to say, oh, I'm hindered from buying whatever it is. It just has to be planned. And like you said, plan and have to understand why you are doing it.
Right.
Because my whole thing is I wanted to figure out what triggered me that day.
Right.
Yeah. I wanted to find out what triggered that, because normally that's not what I do. Three at one time. Now I buy, don't get it twisted.
Right.
But I don't buy three at one time. So I'm trying to figure out what triggered me. And I think that's part of the behaviors that you are giving to your clients. And when you're out speaking and doing things.
Absolutely. I want people to be more intentional. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't mean beating up on yourself and, you know, going down the rabbit hole of guilt and shame. Mm. But it's like, you know, as you're tracking your money, you know, what did you buy? What made you buy it? Was it a need or a want? Was it spontaneous? Was it planned? Were you feeling poopy that day? You just needed a pickup. You know, it's all data. It's all data. And you can't identify a pattern of behavior without collecting that data.
Mm-hmm. That's true. I love it. And that's a true statement. That is also a true statement. Mm-hmm. I want to get back to your bio, because I just love it. You also host a podcast, More Than Money. Tell us about that.
Yes. So thank you for asking about it. So yeah, I like to use it as a platform to have what I describe as nuanced conversations about money, business, and life. Mm-hmm. You know, I am of the camp that doesn't subscribe to this idea that success with money is just about the numbers. I don't believe that. Mm-hmm. And I think that money impacts our lives and we impact money in our lives in a whole host of ways. And so the podcast is designed to, you know, tackle some of those conversations, to have some of those conversations and to give some, you know, something for people to think about differently and some ideas, like to add it to their toolkit, their emotional and their practical toolkit of how to think about it differently, behave with it with more intentions and talk about it more. Because I think while I don't think we, so there's this common notion that we don't talk about money. I don't agree with that. I think we talk about money all the time.
Right.
I just don't think we're having the right conversations. And so hopefully with the podcast, it's, you know, helping to instigate other conversations that people can have when it comes to money.
Great. I love it. So, I mean, your website, I mean, your bio is full of information. Right. That people go, they would love to know when is your next public event where you'll be speaking and people can come and or, you know, retreat or whatever it is that you do so people can come and hear you speak.
So most of my speaking engagements are private. So I do a lot of engagements for AM Law 200 firms, corporations, and nonprofits. But the events that I host that are open are the Pricing Made Human Masterclass. And I only do that twice a year,
okay,
in June and December. So that would be one option. And I'm thinking about, now that we're at a different, I don't call us as being out of COVID, but now that we are at a different stage of the COVID pandemic and people are now a little bit more comfortable dining inside, I'm thinking about resurrecting a version of the dinner series that I used to host prior to, you know, the start of it all.
Okay.
So I'm thinking about that. And so well,
tell us about that one. You know, I'm not sure if I can fly that over there. If it's a free dinner, I don't know.
It's not a free dinner because at a restaurant. Not a free dinner.
Okay.
But yeah, it's, you know, it's really an extension. I mean, everything that I do, right, is talking about money in the myriad of ways in which it intersects our lives and our businesses. And so the dinners were designed to be an intimate setting, no more than, you know, 10, 11 people or so. And we would have a conversation around a particular theme, whatever the theme was for that dinner. And yeah, it was great to talk about, you know, money, business, and life over food and wine. If you like good food and like good wine and you like meeting new people and having interesting conversations about money and everything else, you know, it
was
fun.
Come
on by. Yeah.
I love it. I love it. Well, even so, people can still listen to the podcast More Than Money. So even if your things are private, you know, you have private conversations and private bookings, they can still listen to that and then look for the Price Made Human masterclass too as well.
Yep.
Great. Also, they may be able to find you running.
Yes. In Prospect Park. If you live in Brooklyn, you might see me in Prospect Park. I am there almost every morning.
I love it. I love it. I was like, oh, wow, she's a runner. Great.
I am.
Well, great. Well, you know, I want to thank you for being a guest here on the Finding Your Financial Voice podcast and giving us some nuggets for our lives. Although we did talk quite a bit about entrepreneurship, but it actually it can be applied to your personal if you're not an entrepreneur. And maybe you may have sparked somebody who is thinking about becoming an entrepreneur. Think about a little bit more how they can become an entrepreneur in that sense, in the sense of, okay, I got to get my money, you know, that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Right.
So, Well, thank you so much for being part of Finding Your Financial Voice. And I want to thank our listening audience, and continue to like and share the many podcasts that we have on the website. You can go to moneywisdomforwomen.com, or you can Google my name, and then, or you can send me an email, which is going to be at anitafinancialbehaviors@gmail.com. So thank you so much. Until next time. Thank you. Love you. Like and share. Bye-bye.